Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Wednesday, January the 13th, 2021, 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. And if I sound a little hoarse or I'm clearing my throat, during the break there, I put something in my mouth, and I don't know, I got into the worst coughing fit you have ever seen. So hopefully this hoarseness will clear up. It wasn't there in hour number one. Now, this is going to be an hour, one of the most important hours we've ever done on this show. And I do want to thank Gary Burbank for coming on in hour number one to discuss the end of 35 years of Earl Pitts, the longest-running comedy syndicated program in the history of radio. How about that? And that was his first interview he had done since making that announcement. So thank you, Gary, for coming on in hour number one. Now, there's a lot of talk about the pandemic right now. The numbers continue to rise. We are well over 300,000 dead in this country, approaching 400,000. The vaccine is out, but people have a lot of questions about this. A new strain is here from the United Kingdom. We have seen cases of it in the United States. To sort all of this out is a good pal of mine. I love having him on the program. He gets up awful early to do this, and I can't thank him enough. Every time he does, he is a legendary figure in the world of television. He is a best-selling author. He was the medical expert correspondent on the Today Show for so many years. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones Dr. Art Uhlein. Dr. Uhlein, how are you?
Good morning, Scott. I'm fine. I'm well. And never felt better. Being called a legend. Can't wait to share that with my wife.
Certainly you are. Dr. Uhlein, these are interesting times. Before we get to the specifics, where do you feel we are in this pandemic? We've talked several times. The holidays are over now. What would you call this point in the pandemic?
I would call it a very dangerous point. And I would remind you that every time I have been on the air with you, I have told you that we do not know what we do not know. So it's almost impossible to tell you. It's not impossible to tell you where we're going and where we'll end up, but the time frame is almost impossible. One of the things I did last night, you are the only person in the world I would get up this early for, and last night I sat down and asked myself, what do I need to get across? During all those years, decades, when I was on the Today Show, my producer used to remind me, every story must have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And the end of my stories were always dedicated to what we called the takeaway points. I didn't go on the air to entertain people. I went on the air in the hope that I could leave people with a few snippets of information and a few action items that might keep them safe. So, and you and I do that. We typically wrap up with, so what is it, you know, you want people to remember? I'm wondering if you would give me permission to start at the end. I'd like to skip to the end and give people a few key takeaways and two action items, and then we'll repeat it again at the end, because I don't want anyone who has to leave in 20, 30 minutes to miss this.
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
All right. Number one, this disease is not going away anytime soon. And so everyone out there needs to be asking themselves right now, how am I going to stay safe for the next year? It's not going away quickly because the immunization process is happening much, much too slowly, in part because it just wasn't designed properly, and in part because the logistics are so complicated. You know, just sticking a needle in someone's arm isn't all that's involved. You've got to do a medical history. You've got to be sure they're not allergic. You've got to preserve the vaccine. You need to put them in a recovery area afterward. And I speak from experience because I got my first shot of Moderna vaccine yesterday. I qualified in part because I'm a physician and do have some contact with people. They're not really patients, but we are involved with counseling them and things like that. And in part because I'm 84 years old, and my risk if I get sick is just fantastically high. So people must not believe that this is going away anytime soon. They immunized, I am guessing, based on the amount of time I spent in line, and the number of people I saw arriving at the park, it was done outside in a park, that by the end of the day, the 10 immunization teams probably immunized about 1,000 people. Wow, that sounds like a lot. Until you realize that this is Los Angeles, and if you want to know how many times you have to repeat that scene in the United States to provide the minimum levels of population immunity, you've got to repeat that scene 200,000 times. It's going to take a year. The World Health Organization is warning us now. We may not achieve herd immunity for another year. So get it into your head. This disease is not going away. That's number one. Number two, please understand, this is a lethal disease at any age. There are children who have died. It's unusual. But especially if you are older, if you look at my risk of hospitalization compared to a 25-year-old, if I get sick, my risk of hospitalization is somewhere between 25 and 50 times higher. And my risk of dying is 600 times higher. Compared to a 5-year-old, my risk of dying if I get sick is 1,000 times greater. So for crying out loud, please understand this is not a game. This is a deadly disease. Number three, even if you survive, there's a very serious risk of long-term problems. Some of them truly disabling. We are now talking about long COVID. That's the nickname it's been given. And it turns out that a very high percentage of people end up with chronic symptoms, chronic signs of disease on tests. So this is not something you just get past. It's important to remember that immunizations will protect you in time, but there is a period of time, probably about 8 weeks, during which time you are vulnerable still. So my wife and I are not relaxing for 1 second because we were immunized yesterday. Another takeaway, you must remember the virus cannot spread itself. The only way it can move from one person to another is through some form of contact. And it appears that far and away, that form comes in the presence of exposure to someone else's respiratory output. They breathe that virus out into the air and you breathe it in. And we can talk about ways to minimize your chance, but if you don't come close to someone, and if you're always wearing a mask, you are not going to get sick. And the sixth thing, takeaway, is that the majority of infections are spread by people who have no symptoms. They are the so-called asymptomatic carriers. So they don't know they're sick, and you don't know they're sick, and you cannot take comfort from the fact that they are familiar to you, that they are friends, that they are close acquaintances, or even relatives. Do not take the risk just because you know someone and assume they would keep you well, because indeed they may have been exposed without knowing it as well. Mm. And my two rules. Number one, wear a mask every time there's a chance of being around another person. Not just another person who might be infected, not just when you're around a stranger, but around anyone. My grandson is isolating in our home. He flew out here about 5-6 days ago. He is in a little apartment in the back of our house. He walks out the back door of his bedroom. He is not allowed in the same room as I am, but he is allowed to go into the kitchen. He walks out around the driveway, comes in the kitchen door. He can get himself food and go back out to his isolation room. But when he is in the house, we put on masks, even though I'm not within 20, 30 feet of him. Why? Because we might accidentally get closer. Wear a mask, not just around strangers. The only person with whom I do not wear a mask is my wife, and that is because she and I have been in isolation together for 9 months. If you must be around people, sometimes it just, there's no way to avoid it. Stay at least 6 feet away, even though you're wearing a mask, and try to make your contacts outdoors. So my grandson, who came out here to isolate on the West Coast so he could be with us safely, we meet him only in our backyard. That's the end of my story. Now we'll go anywhere you want.
Yeah. Well, and it's a great thing for people to hear, and we're going to repeat that again at the end of the program. Now, in our 35 minutes here, we have got a lot to cover because there has never been so much information flying around. So I'm going to throw a lot here in regard to the vaccine, and we'll see where we end up. Now, the vaccine is available. People have been taking it, but what I have noticed is, and what I have heard, there are questions. The FDA has not approved this. Usually you get a paper when you take the vaccine that tells you that. A lot of people I know in the healthcare field and in the education field are saying they're not going to take it, and they're not going to get they're not going to have their children take it because of what they have read and what's best for them. Some people have gotten side effects. I don't know if people are consulting their doctor before they are getting the vaccine. So that's a lot on the vaccine, but what say you, doctor?
I say number one, I took this vaccine yesterday. I tried to get it earlier. I will line up for my second shot in 4 weeks. And I think anyone who refuses the vaccine and then has contact with other living souls is a fool. This vaccine was designed on a technology which makes it impossible to catch a disease from it. It's the messenger RNA principle. So instead of using attenuated viruses or killed viruses, they are using a manufactured protein that causes your body to build immunity. But the protein itself has no ability to infect anyone. Did the shot make my arm sore? Yeah, it's a little bit sore up there. It's always sore after any immunization. And the good news is that's a sign that the body's immune system is reacting to it. It's starting to build immunity. We have had absolutely no other side effects. Can side effects happen? Yes. The one side effect that is of primary concern is one of an allergic reaction, even an anaphylactic reaction. These are extremely, extremely rare and tend to occur only in people who have a history of severe allergy or anaphylactic reactions. So we were questioned, and they would not give us the vaccine until we had certified that we do not have allergies. Indeed, they made us sit down in the field and watched us for nearly half an hour to make sure we were not having a reaction. So I think if you look at the number of people dead in this country today, dead, and you look me in the eye and tell me you're not taking it because you're worried about an immunization, I say to you, you are a fool. And I use that term advisedly. I also say to you that you are part of the problem, because the only way we can get a containment on this virus is to have so many people immune to it, what they call population immunity or herd immunity. So many people are already immune that the virus keeps bumping into people but can't infect enough people to keep the numbers growing. At this moment, the numbers are skyrocketing, not so much in Ohio, but here in California, they have gone through the roof. You look at the curve and it is terrifying. And the problem is that the cat got out. We let the cat out of the bag, and once the cat is out of the bag and you've got one out of 17 people in Los Angeles County infected, anybody who walks out in a crowd has a huge risk of getting infected. So I beg people, when you get a chance to take this vaccine, don't dismiss the opportunity lightly.
Doctor, one of the things that people are worried about, we've talked about the side effects, we've talked about what it can do for you, but a lot of people are worried about long-term effects. There is a great paranoia, and maybe justified, I don't know, I'm not in the medical field, that this could cause problems down the road for maybe somebody in their 30s, 40s, 50s who's being offered the vaccine. Is there a great chance of that? The unknown, I guess, is what we would call it.
Well, I think it is fair to worry about the unknown. So let's address what we do know. And what we do know is that 50% of people who get a COVID infection, even a mild one, 50% of them, 6 months later, are still suffering from fatigue, from muscle weakness, from headaches, from depression, from anxiety. It is very clear that a very large percent of them have actually had viral infection inflammation in the brain. And it is not going away at 6 months. If you look at people who have been hospitalized, those with the most serious illnesses, they are now finding evidence on tests like x-rays and cardiac scans. They are finding evidence of heart damage, and they are finding evidence of permanent lung damage. So if you are worried about the unknown, I would only suggest that you balance those worries against the very, very serious concerns about what we already know.
Doctor, something else that has been a big question. Now, because so many people in this country have now been infected with this, and a lot have lived, there is a big question, and I've heard answers both ways on this. Can you get it again if you've had it? Now, this is what I have heard different ways. You can't get it again if you've had it. And then I've also heard, well, antibodies will only last 3 to 4 months, and after that, you can get it again. What is the story on if you've had it, if you've tested positive in a medical facility and you've made it through, can you get it again?
Well, we do know that some people have gotten it again. small number of cases, but very, very clearly documented. And we don't know how likely that is. This is another question that can only be answered in 6 months or a year, Scott. So the CDC is now recommending that you should be immunized even if you have been infected already. We do not know the duration of natural immunity. And let's be honest about this. We do not know the duration of this artificial immunity that will result from the shot I got yesterday. So that's why I beg people to remember this disease is not going away, and whether you've been immunized or not, you need to be careful. We could have stopped this disease in its tracks if everyone in the United States had worn a mask and stayed 6 feet away. Would some people have gotten the virus? Yes. Would some people have died from it? Yes. The University of Washington, you may recall way back when, the University of Washington predicted that if 95% of Americans wore masks, only 60,000 people would die by December 1st. And they predicted that 240,000 people would die if only half the country wore masks. And in fact, only 47% of Americans wore masks, and 225,000 people were dead on December 1st. So, and they're right on. They're absolutely right on with their predictions. And they're now predicting that 475,000 people will die at the current rate of mask usage. That's crazy.
There are two important questions here. One is something that's been going around, and when I've heard it enough times, I want to ask you about it. It comes to having had tested positive and having the illness and making it through COVID-19, and then the vaccine is offered to you. Now, one of the theories that's going around is that if you have had it and you get the vaccine, that you're more likely to have side effects and get sick from the vaccine. Is there any truth to that you've heard?
I honestly don't know. I do not know the answer to that question. And I would be surprised. I try to monitor the literature. There are dozens of new reports coming out every single week about this disease because we are still in the learning stage. And this is the kind of study that I know is being done, but I don't know the answer to that question. Logically, I would expect that if you had the disease already and you were given another immunization, you would have a stronger immune response. You would build up even more antibodies than someone who had not been infected and was naive to this organism. The one thing I would go on that would guide my behavior is that the CDC is now recommending that you do this. They don't do that lightly. The CDC, I need to back off. I was going to say the CDC is free of political interference. These are scientists who base their judgments on medical knowledge and scientific information. I have to qualify that and say to you that the CDC was previously interfered with by politicians. I now have faith that the recommendations coming, that they are ignoring the political pressures. I don't think they care any longer. So I trust the CDC, and if I had had COVID, I can tell you I would have been in that line yesterday to get my immunization.
This next question is maybe one of the most important that people have. The holidays are over now. In the Midwest, we are deep into winter. Probably the worst month of winter temperature and snow-wise usually is January. That being said, is there, the vaccine is here, is there a light now? Are these numbers going to start to go down? Is there any hope at this point?
Well, in time, ultimately, yes, if enough people are immunized or get the disease, the rate of infectious spread will decline. Again, I would repeat what I said earlier, which is that if every one of us would just put on a darn mask and stay 6 feet away from people and stay outdoors and avoid indoor contact, long exposures indoors, the hope at the tunnel would arrive, the light would arrive many, many months earlier. Yes, there is light at the end of the tunnel, but I think given the way we are behaving and the rate at which we are immunizing people, you are in for a year of risk.
Why, in your opinion, is the vaccine being distributed much slower than we had thought in the beginning?
Well, I think part of it is the fact that the a political decision was made, a conscious political decision was made to put the states in charge of the effort, put them in competition with each other for a vaccine, to let them make up their own rules. So we have 50 different ways of doing this in the country. There should have been one standard, one guideline, changing from time to time based on experience. I actually turned to my wife about 6-8 weeks ago after a lieutenant general was put in charge of this, and I said, the Army is in charge of this effort. We are saved because the Army has experts in logistics. They have National Guards everywhere they can turn to. They know how to do this. Well, it turns out the Army wasn't put in charge of anything. The people in charge said to every state, go do it on your own. So you've got different guidelines in different states. That's part of the problem. A second problem is the nature of our national health care system. We don't have a system. We have 1,000 different ways of doing this. And in those countries where there is nationalized health care, single-payer systems, everybody got the vaccine at the same time. We have 1 million doctors in the country. The vaccine should have been sent to 700,000 of them, the ones who are in charge. And each doctor could have said to his or her own patients, we have the vaccine now, call the office, make an appointment, come in. Instead, we've told 50 governors, hey, make up your own rules. Here's some guidelines. And the 50 governors told in California, their 100 counties, hey, make up your own rules, do whatever you can. And L.A. County said, hey, we're going to have immunization sites in 10 city parks every day. Good luck.
Dr. Yulin, as I believe this has happened since we spoke last, a new strain of COVID-19 presented itself in the United Kingdom. It is here now. We have identified cases of it in the United States. How is this different than the original strain, and what should we know about it?
Well, the bad news is that it appears to be more transmissible. You come in contact with someone, it's easier to get sick, to get infected. It appears to be affecting children much more than the original variant, and in some children with a more serious form of the disease. So the hospitalization rate is increasing among children. We know now that that this disease is more serious than the flu. Now, we don't know if this particular strain is more lethal than the last strain, but the one thing we do know is that it is at least as lethal as the last strain and five times more lethal than the flu. How about some good news? The good news is that at least one of the vaccines, the Pfizer vaccine, has been demonstrated in the laboratory to be effective against the new strains, at least the strain from England, and it appears to be as effective in what we call in vivo, in human beings. Only time will tell for sure. But I think that the news is generally good in that regard. Having said that, this virus, I need to point out, this virus is constantly mutating. And the experts say that if you the mutations occur primarily in the spike protein, which is really the one that responsible for the infection, then we could be in for trouble. Let's take the good news and not worry about what hasn't happened yet.
Doctor, a question that is asked a lot about the new strain, since that became something people were talking about, is if you have had the original strain, can you get... We don't even know if you can catch the original one again at this point, but could you get the second one, the second strain?
Possibly, but I think the risk is very, very low based on what we are seeing with the vaccine test. And the reason for that is that, by and large, these new strains have the same or very, very similar what we call spike proteins. So I think time will tell on this, but the people I know in this field are betting on success with the vaccine against the currently known new strains.
The next question here is not political in nature, even though it will sound like that, but it's something I think we have to pay attention to. We talked about the holidays. We talked about them before and after, and that people were going to get together and numbers were going to go up, and ultimately that's what happened. Now, as this inauguration is coming up and as this weekend is coming up, people are saying that in all 50 states there are groups that are planning to go to the state capitals. Now, what they will do there, we hope will be peaceful protests, but in these protests, I don't see a lot of masks. So forget the political nature of it and why they're there and what they want. We hope they're peaceful. But how dangerous is this when it comes to COVID-19? 50 state capitals, protests planned all across this country.
Well, this is sort of a common sense question. You don't need a doctor to answer this question. We know that the virus is spread by person to person. We know that the closer you are to the next person, the more likely, the greater your risk of exposure. We know that loud shouting tends to increase the number of viral particles expelled. We know that people who do not wear masks dramatically increase your risk of infection. So I think this is a catastrophe waiting to happen.
Doctor, if I am somebody who has to go to work to feed my family, and I have to go out in public and be around people, if I work in a grocery store, if I work in a department store, if I work in a restaurant, because they're open now too, if I run my own business, if it's around people, if I wear a mask all the time, am I in good shape?
Well, you're in better shape than if you don't wear a mask. And I just want to take a moment to salute these frontline workers. I think last night we ordered takeout. It's usually delivered. That there's one restaurant that has the best hamburgers in Los Angeles, and I have to go pick them up. And when I walk in that door, it's the bag's waiting on a table. I shout behind the counter, "Thank you guys for what you do." You know, they're just making hamburgers, but they're keeping us fed. The grocery clerks are keeping us in food, and I salute these people. Of course, I salute the nurses and doctors who literally are putting their lives on the line. So they're at risk. Let's be honest. They're coming in contact with people who could be infected. They have no way of knowing who's infected, And I just beg them to be as careful as they can. Work behind a plastic screen, wear a mask yourself, wear the best mask you can find, an N95 mask if you can get one. Do not take chances. And when you go home, be very, very careful around the people in your home. As I pointed out, my grandson's been on our home 5 days, and we have not been in the same room with him yet. We will, by the way, after he's here 9 days and tests negative after 9 days, we intend to get in a car with him, drive to Utah, and go skiing. So life is not over, you know?
Well, you know,
we're being careful.
Doctor, and this is happening in local communities, so I don't think we have to go national to do this, but I'm going to do this just to make a point, because I think everybody listening to this program realizes who Larry King is. He's a legendary broadcaster. He's been in our living rooms for years. He's still doing a show on the internet. He's 87 years old, had open heart surgery twice, had a pretty debilitating stroke back in 2019 in which he was in a coma. He's not able to walk anymore without assistance, and certainly knew he was susceptible to this illness. Now, he's got the money to stay away, hopefully, from people. He doesn't have to work, I guess is what I'm saying at this point in his life. He's got COVID-19. He's currently in I believe, Cedars-Sinai out in California. And when they said, well, how did he end up with this? They think it was transmitted by one of the healthcare workers that came in to help him. If that can happen, it's scary for everybody.
This whole thing is scary. One of the problems is that the numbers are so huge now, 380,000 dead. It almost doesn't mean anything. Think about that. 380,000 people have died from this, and you've still got people walking around without masks. I just can't explain it.
Doctor, I want to come back to this because I think these are the 2 points again. We're going to start how we ended, but before we do that, I want to say again something about the vaccine, or have you say it. Why should you get this vaccine? Because it is out there. Right now is the point where people are being offered it. Healthcare workers, senior citizens, people who work in schools, that group is being offered it. It's a question. It's not being given as a mandate. Why should you take it?
You should take it, number one, to protect yourself against the risk of this potentially lethal illness. And I don't care what age you are. You have no guarantee of safety if you are 15 or 20 or 30 years old. Your risk is fantastically much lower than mine, but you run a risk of death. You should also take it as part of a commitment we have to each other to keep people alive. Take it because when we reach 200 million people who are protected, the risk of infecting your grandmother goes down dramatically. I know you say, I'm not going to infect my grandmother. No, but the other guy who didn't get the vaccine will do it. We truly, truly are in this together. And if 200 million of us would take this vaccine, you'd see the numbers plummet. And you could look your grandmother in the eye and say, I did my share.
And again, I think this was a very important point that you made earlier. When you get the vaccine, it still takes about 8 weeks before you're out of the big woods. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. You get increasing immunity with every day. I got my shot yesterday. It might be 2 or 3% effective. In 4 weeks, we know that it will be 50% effective. I'll get the second shot, and we know that 3 to 4 weeks after that, it will reach 95% effectiveness. Now, here's what I need people to understand. 95% effectiveness means that of 100 people who are given that vaccine and then exposed, 5 will still get infected and be at risk of death and complications. So it doesn't matter. You must protect. You must employ those actions, wearing a mask and distancing, that will protect you and, as important, protect your grandmother. I know that some people say, I came across a guy walking down the sidewalk toward me a few days ago in my neighborhood, walking his dog without a mask, 30-ish, 35, and I said, please put on your mask, and he said, I ain't going to. And then he started walking right toward me. Now, I ran into the street, and I'm embarrassed by what I said to him, but I'd probably say it again. What this guy thinks is that he doesn't care about me. If I want to protect myself, I should go in the street. What he doesn't realize is he is risking his grandmother's life.
This is true. And the other point, before we recap where we started the program, if you have had it, if you have tested positive and made it through, one of the lucky ones, you do have some immunity, but we don't know yet if you can get it again or not. Is that correct?
That is correct. And we don't know how long the immunity lasts or how strong it will be. I, by the way, think that the likelihood is that it will be strong and protect you. There's no reason, there's no reason to believe this virus acts any differently than any other, but there's lots of reasons to believe that, aren't there?
There certainly are. Well, Doctor, with 5 minutes left, let's go back where we started, because I believe that was very important, and if people are just tuning in, they need to hear it again.
Okay. Number one takeaway, this disease is not going away anytime soon, so prepare yourself for a year of precautions. Number two, it's a lethal disease at any age, and the risk of death rises dramatically with age. So as I said earlier, if I get an infection, compared to a 20-year-old, I am actually 630 times more likely to die. So if you won't do it for yourself, please wear the mask and distance for my sake. Number three, even if you survive, there's a very serious risk of long-term problems. Some are minor. I don't know if depression and headaches, and that's minor. Some are truly disabling, like heart failure and serious lung problems. Number four, immunizations can protect you, but there's a period of time when you are still completely vulnerable, a few weeks, and we don't know how long the immunity lasts. So even if you get immunized, please continue to observe precautions. Number five, the virus cannot spread itself. So if you do not come in contact with someone who's infectious, your risk of getting it is really low. So avoid contact. And number six, keep in mind the fact that the vast majority of infections are spread by asymptomatic people. Your best friend, your sister, your brother can give it to you and not know that he or she is infected. So you need to practice the same precautions against people with whom you are familiar as you would with strangers. And finally, I'll repeat my advice. If you don't want to get sick, wear a mask every time there's a chance of being near another person. Federal guidelines are 6 feet. We keep 12 feet between us and our relatives, and we wear a mask. And number two, stay away from people, especially indoors. Outdoors is safer, but it's not a complete guarantee of safety. That's it.
Dr. Yulin, we've got about 2 minutes left, so I'm going to throw this question at you because this has been something I've heard as well. If you are younger, let's say 30 to 40, if you exercise, if you're a by and large a healthy person, does that protect you from getting it? Now, I understand you might end up being asymptomatic and not know you have it, and you could still spread it, but does any of that stop you from getting it?
Well, we do know it makes you more resistant to any sort of infection. So I think the answer to that is it won't stop you, but it will decrease your risk of becoming infected. We do know that people who have what we call comorbidities, diabetes, heart disease, asthma, even obesity, severe overweight, are at greater risk for more serious forms of this illness and for death. So we come back to that same old advice, which is take care of yourself. I am working out with weights 4 days a week. We are walking 2 to 3 miles 3 or 4 days a week. I eat well. I take a vitamin supplement for insurance. Anything you can do to increase your general resistance will reduce your risk of being infected by this virus. There is huge variability, however. We must recognize that there are some people who are absolutely perfect specimens of health, and yet they get sick. And that's what being a human being is all about.
This has been a period, this has been a program, which it sounds funny to say because sometimes we speak in hyperbole, but this really was a program that could save your life because equipped with information in this world, you can make your own decisions and hopefully a decision for the better that will not only save you, but save the rest of us as well. Dr. Art Yulin, you're a pal. I'm sure we'll call on you again, but thank you for today. I think this was information that is very important to a lot of people out there in the listening world.
Thank you, Scott, for the opportunity to share it.
Thank you.
Dr. Art Yulin, can't go wrong there. I think we covered all the bases, education, information, and entertainment with Gary Burbank this morning. Glenn Coble and I coming up next.
I want to tell you, don't pay any attention to him. Just pat him on the head 3 times.
And the producer that he had a gun.
Oh, he had a gun.
He had a gun.